Hello,
Happy
hello.
Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. It is Toolbox Tuesday yet again. Here we are. If you have not been with us before for Toolbox Tuesday, we do this every week in our practices. We pick a tool of the week of one of our resources that our team has at their disposal so that everyone can focus in on that, make sure we're all on the same page with our scripting. If there's any clarifications that need to be made on it, we go over that in our huddles, and then we also revisit that on our Thursday huddle just to make sure that we're keeping up with all of these tools that are in our toolkit.
Yeah, it's one of the most important things I think we do, and kind of reviewing all these different tools. And if anyone has any insights, any suggestions or edits we want to make to our protocols, things like that, we can all vote on those and kind of practice those at the same time. It's really, really a valuable time. It's quick, but it's valuable.
And I think having it quick makes the most impact, right? When we're joining on, we've done it. We used to do costume meetings in the whole nine yards that went on for 4 hours, and I started to glaze over. So get to the point, make sure that everyone understands their takeaway, and then we can move on. But
Coffee
I
and
think,
cup treats helped with that, though.
yes, for sure. And I think this is also, it helps the team to see that, all of the protocols that we have are living, actionable things. We do not have an SOP that sits on the cabinet collecting shelf dust on the shelf. Like, this is something that we are constantly looking at and improving. This is something that we'll also be discussing in our level up course that launches on May 30th about how we have establish some of these protocols, how we can help you establish some of these protocols, and really have your team participate and buy into that process, because these are meant to be tools and skills that they can actually lean on and use on a everyday, all day basis, not just something that the higher ups decided this sounded good. Now we've written it in stone and this is what it is. It's like, no, this is a collaborative. How are we going to use it for the situations that come up in our practices?
The only constant is change. So we're constant. I mean, every single day we're improving on these things and editing them.
And I think if you can break down the barriers of not having change be such a scary thing, and that change is a good thing, and change can improve your patient experience and your team experience, suddenly they're not resisting it as much. Not
Well,
100% of the time, but as much. Yeah.
right. And they have a say in the change, right? Because they're the boots on the ground. They're the ones experiencing them. They're using these tools the most. They're dealing with patients, dealing with their other team members. They're the ones who best have the best suggestions because they're using them every day.
And I think it also helps, and again, it's not 100%, but it also helps for everyone to be looking for the solutions and not just the problem, right? When they're realizing that they're participating in what it is that we're implementing, it's not just that this isn't working. Okay, if it's not working, that's great. We want to hear about it. And what can we do to make it better?
Right. Well, let's get into today.
So today we are going to focus on hot topics, hot takes, and that is cancellation in the practices when patients are canceling appointments and they do not give us proper notice, which is everyone doctor's favorite thing under the sun that they have to go up against in the practices.
And we never had this problem in our
Yeah,
practice.
no, never. We
Yeah, of course.
never had a patient that didn't show up. Yes. And we're taking a step back from this, and we've gone through multiple iterations of this. And of course, after COVID happened, as soon as you had a tickle in your throat, everyone was home in quarantine for 2 weeks, right? And we were extremely strict following all the CDC guidelines. But some of that hasn't completely gone away. And now we have to take a little bit of a step back. Now we have team members that they have a headache and they're trying to call out sick for the day. I'm like, you got to take an Advil and we got to continue on with life here. So we have to educate our patients the same way. On the one hand, we do not want patients coming in projectile vomiting in the practices, but we also need them to respect our provider's time and not just be canceling an appointment because they have something else that is more important, or they have someone else that is having a stricter cancellation policy than we do.
Right.
And I think we talk a lot about this with our doctors and how this starts with the exam and how this starts with scheduling with patients and their view of the value of their appointment with us, right? If we're leading into an appointment with, well, we'll just put you on the schedule and you just let us know if that doesn't work for you. Or we can just softly put it there. We've had exams that we've heard like this. Just we'll tentatively schedule you. We'll tentatively schedule you. What are you talking about? We'll tentatively schedule you. We use the analogy, you don't tentatively schedule for heart surgery, right? We're not, on the one hand, dealing with a life or death situation, but most people are not calling the hospital to cancel their heart surgery appointment the day of, right?
And I think that that's the part that we and a lot of people we talk to miss the most is that a lot of these cancellations stem from the patient not prioritizing or valuing that appointment, right? And it's not always the tentative scheduling or I'll just put you on the schedule. You tell me if you can make it or not. It's kind of is one that we hear quite a bit. But a lot of times it's not even them valuing the work that they need. Meaning not thinking that like you gave the example of a heart surgery. Obviously, everyone places a huge priority on that for good reason. But the cavity, the crack, the broken tooth, the abscess that they've already gotten antibiotics for that doesn't hurt anymore. You know, the broken tooth that hurt when they bit down on the nut and now it's fine.
Right.
In their mind, fine. You know, right. Those are all the things that it really stems from the doctor, the team, not placing such a emphasis on the levity of the situation.
Right.
And I think that really stems, and we can get into this a lot later, that really stems from the doctors honestly not having a lot of confidence that what they're doing is the best thing for the patient, right? And I think we as dental providers sometimes or a lot of times think that whatever we do is 100% elective, right? It's the same as going to get a facial or a haircut, things like that. And while it is definitely elective, it's a lot more serious, right? And it's not a life or death situation in that moment, but has such serious health and budget consequences for the patient if they don't get something done, right?
Well, and I use the hair analogy all the time. I talk about it with the team all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, if you have the hairstylist, number one, they're booked out 4 months. So you better schedule for the entire year. Now, number two, if you cancel your appointment, you're not getting back in for another 4 months. And do you want to upset your hairdresser? No, you don't. You don't want to upset your hairdresser. So those are times sometimes that people are trying to cancel their dental appointment for other priorities, you know, So there's communication and we're not monsters either, right? You know, I mean, there are things that come up and we understand that people legitimately have emergencies, but you know, in our practices, the policy is 48 business hours. And we go above and beyond from a reminder standpoint with our patients. And when they schedule an appointment, they receive a save the date email and text that they can sync with their calendar. We start reminding them at the 3 week mark, at the 1 week mark, 3 days, 2 days, 1 day, even send them a text 2 hours before their appointment. So short of actually showing up at their door, we are doing everything that we can to remind them that they have an appointment. But this is not everybody's favorite place to be, right? There, most people are not jumping up and down. I can't wait to have that crown prep done, you know? So again, it's just communication. And yes, there's going to be emergencies that come up, but a lot of it is let's ask another question to find out if it's a true quote unquote emergency, you know, or not. I mean, we have patients who work shift schedules or who are medical workers, healthcare workers, emergency workers, and they don't schedule appointments because they know that they'll be called into work in a moment's notice. So they'll call, hey, I have today off, I have tomorrow off, do you have anything? And that's how we work it in the schedule so that we're not just constantly playing catch up with those holes.
Yeah. It's a huge thing. We can go into this. We're definitely going to go into this later in future webinars and courses that we're going to do. But we've actually limited the ability for patients to schedule to only 3 weeks out. And I know that's a huge shift from what we were kind of taught as business owners and practice owners in the beginning is we needed to have all of our hygiene scheduled 6 months, sometimes 12 months out. You know, we wanted to have our restorative or our doctor scheduled at least one or 2 months out. But what we found in a lot of those situations is when people could schedule 6 weeks out, they did.
Yeah.
Even though we had time next week.
Right.
And that and the reason people did that is not necessarily because they were planning on missing that appointment. They weren't exactly prioritizing it either, right? They weren't placing high value in the appointment either. And we did a lot of the research. Took a lot of the stats on these appointments. And I don't remember the exact stats, Jennifer, but it was substantially more shifting around going on from the 3 to 6 week mark than there was in the 1 to 3, right? When someone had an exam, had an emergency exam, whatever it was, even scheduled a hygiene appointment 1, 2, and 3 weeks before, they showed up. Yeah. That was fresh in their mind. It was something they prioritized. They needed it. They remembered the conversation with the doctor. They remembered the conversation or how hard it was to fit in a hygiene appointment. And they did not, they really aren't shifting those appointments around as much.
Well, and I mean, what were we communicating to them? You know, our doctors went through the entire exam process to tell them that they had a crack that was traveling towards the nerve on a tooth. And I'll see you 3 months from now. Right. I mean, you know, it was a contraindication for what it was that we were trying to communicate from an urgency standpoint too. And patients, as we all know already, there's a little bit of a men in black as soon as they walk out the door. They forget half of what we say anyway. So then you're 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 3 months removed from that. Forget it. It's
really or the one we, the exactly great example, but the one we heard so often was, well, I have an abscess, I have a crack, I have a cavity. Can you just give me antibiotics because my insurance renews in 3 months? Right. I mean, that's really not helping too much. We're really diagnosing pocketbooks at that point. And that's really devaluing who we are as providers and what the service that we're giving people and our role in their health. So, yeah.
And we put this out for patients, so they're very well aware. We're not trying to give them an out, but we tell them what the expectation is as part of our office policies, just like they understand our financial policies, they know what our cancellation policies are as well. And this is, I use the hairstylist as an example, but this is everywhere that you go. You know, I had a couple years back, I had a gift certificate for a massage that I received as a Christmas present. I had my appointment. I go out to my car. I have a flat tire. Okay. I'm not lying. I can send the picture to the spa. I literally have a flat tire right now. I called them. They don't care. It doesn't matter. You're going to be charged in full for the service. Sorry, like our masseuse is here waiting for you. So,
have you heard of Uber? Can you get here now? Yeah.
Uber driver that broke every traffic law under the sun because he was on a mission. But we're not. My point in saying that is that we're not the only ones that enforce a cancellation policy. You know, we have that. That's just the standard, whether it's in medical or otherwise. So.
Yeah, and I think what I've noticed, and it's a great example, all these different things, but the businesses that place a priority on their own time, it looks more professional to the patient, to the client, in my opinion. And I think in older people's opinion, right? If you have the appointments where, oh yeah, you can shift it around, we can put you in tomorrow, you know, hey, you couldn't come at 8, you missed the appointment because of the kids, this, that, and the other. Once you come at 12, it gives the impression that you have all the time in the world for them, right? And you're just sitting around waiting for whenever they want to come in, right?
Right.
And that's not the way we operate, right? We are not an emergency clinic where you just kind of roll in and see when, take a number, right? We have specific times that every patient is scheduled. Every dental office does, or almost every dental office does. And so when we allow patients to shift around a lot, it really shows the patient that we're not placing that type of priority on what they're supposed to get done as that we should. And it's very, very soft. The appointments become very, very soft at that point.
So from a sound off standpoint for our team, you know, the situation is a patient is trying to schedule with less than 48 hours notice. And again, this is business notice. This is not canceling on Saturday night and you walk in Monday morning and now all of a sudden your production is blown out of the schedule. This is business hours notice. When I answer the phone about this, and I have recorded myself doing this, and we've used this in many of our team examples, I am overdramatic about it. If you all have not gathered that by now, I'm very animated in all the things that I do. But if someone is trying to cancel on me, I literally go, like, I'm in physical pain, right? Like, really? That's my response to them. You know, really, you have to cancel? Is there any way you can make it? And I'm serious as a heart attack about it. And then I have silence of the lambs. I don't say anything. And I do not fill that silence with other options. I wait for them to come back with their excuses as to why they cannot make their appointment. For the rest of our team members, they're not quite as melodramatic as I am about it. But their script is there any way that you can make your appointment today? We do have a 48-hour business notice cancellation policy, and I would like to help you avoid any charges for that. Now, the team is trying to help the patient avoid any charges. We've talked about this a ton. My goal, just like with finance charges, is that I never charge anyone a broken appointment fee ever. That is not a recipe to make up for the overhead costs of having a hole in your schedule. Doctors, you all know this. That is not making up for the production that is lost on your schedule. It is meant to be a deterrent so that a patient finds a way to make it to their appointment.
Right, right. We hope to never collect a no show. That's a bad day when something like that happens. Cause it's a hole no matter what. It's a hole no matter what. And anytime you do it, there's always going to be a little bad blood. And yes, the projectile vomiting, you know, the broken leg, whatever it is, the major, major emergencies, that's not what we're talking about here. Like Jennifer said, we're not monsters, but if you're going to have a policy out there, you better charge it, or they're going to know that that's a soft policy. Right. And so it feels a little bad to have to actually charge someone $50, $100, $150, whatever it is, but it has to be done.
Well, the reality is that they're not at home worried about the $2,000 that they just took off your production schedule. And is Dr. X going to be able to pay the loan payment this month? I'm sorry, but they don't care. They're not thinking about you, right? And honestly, since we've had this policy, again, we're not monsters with it. We have had people who have called and said, I messed it up. I had something come up with work. I double booked myself. I'm so sorry. Send me the bill. I know there's going to be a charge, right? Like people that are reasonable and know, like, you know, yes, there's time that things come up, but we also shouldn't just be taking the hit for it. Right. But what we've also found with this is asking, is there any way that you can make your appointment? Putting that onus back on the patient, and let's have a conversation, because a lot of times it's, oh, well, someone thought that their appointment was going to be 4 hours and they have to be at work by 11. We have you out by 8:30. Come on down. Like, you know, sometimes it's just asking the question. Or we had a patient who thought that she wasn't going to be able to talk the rest of the day. We were working on 18. You're going to be fine by your meeting that you have at 1 o'clock. But if we hadn't asked one extra question, she's just, oh, I have a meeting I have to present for at 1 o'clock. I can't make my appointment today. So I'm just canceling. You know, so find out if there's something else that we can work out. And again, we're not trying to always shift the schedule, but you know, sometimes it's, oh, well, I was going to be 20 minutes late and I thought that was too late. If it's the difference between blowing out your entire morning production and having your patient be 20 minutes late, Stan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think most doctors are going to say, come down 20 minutes late and we're going to figure it out.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. I mean, especially if it's for a longer appointment, even if it's not, just come on down. We'll do something. We'll work the schedule. Yeah. And I think the other thing that we see a lot, and we do a lot of IV sedation in our practice. We have three providers that provide IV sedation. We're a huge believer in it. A lot of times when people cancel, it's because they're afraid.
Yeah.
And so that's another question. We kind of one more question to ask the patient, and it will come out that they're really just nervous about that appointment, whether they're doing the sedation or not. And if they are nervous about the appointment and they were afraid or didn't want to pay for the sedation or didn't have a ride, whatever it is, let's see if we can figure something out. Even if we just do oral sedation, you know, if it's not in the budget or you can't figure that part out. But a lot of times that actually rolls right into, well, yes, we can reschedule, but now we're going to do more treatment. And we're going to do sedation, right? And that happens a lot too. And that's just that one more question that we need to ask the patient on the phone. Now, that does bring up a good point. Those questions should have been asked by the doctor and the team at the exam appointment 100%, but at least it's a time that we can recover that and we can get the patient what they need.
Right. No, absolutely. And, you know, the fear factor is a huge one and recognizing that for people, but it's not getting any better if they reschedule the next week and now they just get to build it up for a whole other week on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a snooze alarm, right? It doesn't get any good to wake up, right?
Yeah. So yeah, asking and having your team asking, you know, one more question with that. I think having the in of like, hey, I'm trying to help you avoid the fee, but I'm also trying to get you here, you know, in the chair for the appointment that you scheduled. And then really looking at if there's something else, like we talked about, you know, with having the stickiness of the appointment is what we call it. You know, it's that we record all of our exams and we do that so that we can give feedback across the board from a patient flow standpoint, starting with the dental assistant to the exam with the doctor to the treatment presentation. And we have had those come up, but I'll just put you here and you let me know if that works for you. That is a perfect example of not having the stickiness in that appointment that we can use to help teach our team in real time. What does that sound like if you're a patient, right? Instead of, this is your appointment time, I will see you then. You know, we've even coached our doctors on, I'm going to see you at your next appointment for that upper right-hand side. Like, we're getting this done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that really stems from the doctor too. We've gone over this with our doctors and they kind of chuckle when we show them the video, but you know, oh, we have a little bitty cavity here. We have a tiny cavity here, just a tiny crack here or something like that. Those things aren't getting any better. That tiny crack is a broken tooth. That tiny crack can go in the nerve. That tiny cavity is going to become bigger. Let's get it small. And, you know, and that gets back to that whole idea about really valuing what you do as a provider, as a dentist, hygienist, and relaying that to the patient, right? And if you don't believe that their time and money is best spent with what you're talking to them right now, you have no business being in the chair and talking to those patients, right? You really need to value kind of what you're giving those patients. And I think us as dentists, we don't value that because of the long time that it takes for some of these things to progress. We know we have time before that becomes a painful, much more costly issue, right? And we're not really valuing it. We also know when it's a more timely when it's a more costly and a more painful procedure, it's a lot easier to sell the case too, right? Yeah. And that's not a very ethical thing to say, but that's ingrained in us a little bit because we don't want to have those hard conversations with people to try to convince them to get something done. So it's really hard for us sometimes to place the importance on an incipient decay on number 20, right? But the same importance needs to be placed on that versus a cuspal fracture, right?
Yeah. What is the prognosis of the incipient decay on number 20? Untreated, left untreated, right? Yeah.
It's 100% terminal, right? They are going to lose that tooth. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be in 5 years, but at some point they're going to lose that tooth, right? And I know it's not an if, it's a when.
And that tiny little opening in your schedule doesn't become is a tiny when all of a sudden your production is blown up right per either. So this is dovetails like with our financial policies. You know, it might be challenging at first because it's uncomfortable, because we want our patients to like us, but we also have to draw those boundary lines because this is a business, right? This is your income. This is your team's income. And just like we talked about in our financial policies webinar, if you're letting patients walk all over you and they're expecting you to do treatment for free, that's not a recipe for success. If you have patients who aren't able to commit to their appointments and are constantly shifting your schedule around, that also is not a recipe of success. But it starts with us with making sure that we are establishing what those expectations are so that patients are clear on what we will deliver and what we expect from them.
Right, right. And I mean, we get into this a lot with our clients too, but kind of looking at your hourly and how you build a schedule, how you build a block schedule, how you follow a block schedule with your general dentist or an IV sedation dentist. And a hole in that schedule is a hole. But when you look at what you have to do to make up for that over the next day, week, it's massive, right? And sometimes a lot of our providers aren't really able to make that up if it's a $5,000 case that gets blown out of the water, right? So that means that they're losing $5,000 that week, because adding $5,000 in that same week is a major heavy lift, right? To get something like that on the schedule.
Well, and the reality for most of us and all of our team members is we're paying our team members when that $5,000 goes off the schedule. We're paying them today. We're paying them again tomorrow, back office, front office, you know, get from an overhead expense standpoint, that cost does not go away for most doctors. So,
right. Right. Good point.
And we're going to be getting into more of these sound offs, more of these details of making sure that your team members are comfortable with the scripting of these things and how to respond to these situations. In that Level Up program, we'll be doing another little Q&A session for all of the questions that have come up about the program, but it starts on May 30th. We do still have registration slots available. You can register directly through our website at pathwaydentalsolutions.com. Or if you have any questions, we're happy to chat. You can email us, connect@pathwaydentalsolutions.com. We also are on all the social media platforms, so feel free. You can reach us in all of the ways.
All right.
In the meantime, see you guys next time for Toolbox Tuesday. We'll be back next week. Have a good day, everybody.